Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic. Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for role players and GMs. Tripping over my own words. I do that too often.
Yeah, man. It's because you zoom. You zoom through that intro.
Well, it's because it's actually that I like be subconscious, like, oh yeah, don't do this thing, and then I end up doing that thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, you could have just blamed it on your bionic larynx. Cyberpunk episode. Yeah,
are we keeping this now?
I don't know. It's up to you. Look, I'm not even going to be listening to this for like 2 weeks. I'm in New York. I don't care.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Actually, by the time they're listening to this, I will have been back from New York for quite a while. But yeah, I am leaving for New York in like less than like day and a half. So
true.
I guess now most of that is going to be kept in.
Most of that's going to be what? Cut?
Kept in or moved to the end.
Kept in, moved to the end? Yeah, okay. Should I do a regular intro or no?
I don't know. This is Rolling Imperfection. They like clicked on the thing, right?
Yeah, you clicked on the thing. Yeah.
You clicked on the thing.
Episode 100, not scuffed. This one, super scuffed.
Yeah.
Steve, by the way.
I'm Kevin. This is our completely, man, now we're going to have like a scuffed like section, or maybe I should hashtag scuffed like some of these episodes where we're just like, I don't know, our format broke down. We just kind of went with it.
Maybe.
How are
we
you
got
doing
through 100
this,
episodes
sir?
Now to just break down and deteriorate.
Welcome to the slow fracture of our podcast. Join us. Kind of slow disintegration of society. It's a cyberpunk thing, right? This is our cyberpunk opening.
For biopunk, did we miss the God, I can't remember what that movie is. The one where the like people expire and like they have like a little thing on their hands. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you're talking about
Yeah, is that kind of biopunky? I didn't see all that movie, so I don't
no,
know.
No, that was that's a tech. That's cyberpunk.
What is cyberpunk?
That's this,
oh, cool.
That's this episode. That's this episode.
Oh, okay, perfect. It fits.
You're talking about the one with your boy, Justin Timberlake?
Is it Justin Timberlake? I don't know.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I thought it was an old movie from the like 70s or 80s.
Are you talking about Seconds?
No. Let me see if I can find it.
I'm talking about In Time from 2011.
Okay, yeah, that's not one I was talking about, but
which one are you talking about?
That's what I'm trying to find.
I wonder how much of this is going to get left in.
Logan's Run?
Oh, that is not cyberpunk. That's just sci-fi.
Just sci-fi, okay. No. Give me the name of this other movie. I need to see it, apparently.
In Time? I thought it was okay when I saw it in like 2012.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's by the same guy who did Gattaca. Gattaca's amazing. It's also not cyberpunk, but that's okay. So yeah, today we're talking about cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Join us. Join the cyber revolution. Rise up.
This episode would be scuffed if we had cyber brains.
Yeah. Or it'd be more scuffed because we would have hacked cyber brains. And like we've already thrown off the shackles of our format that I'm now going to return to.
Does that mean we're not going to have an intro or outro anymore?
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Maybe. 103, the cyber revolution occurred and we've abandoned structure.
I mean, it might happen after this one because you'll have come back from vacation and I won't have been recording either. So who knows what will happen?
It's true. It's true. But yeah. This is the last of our punk trilogy for now. We may do more later. I'll talk about subgenres at the end, and I'm not going to spend long on them.
Even though there's a lot?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton. My God, there are so many. We didn't even know. When we went into this, we're like, oh yeah, what stuff should we do? And we looked and we're like, there's a lot. That's a lot. But yeah, I guess we should start off with like, what is cyberpunk? Which I feel like, I don't know. Unlike biopunk and nanopunk, I feel like cyberpunk's a fairly like accepted genre, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
So it's essentially, and kind of the root of it, is that it's science fiction that kind of explores what if technology hasn't solved all our problems. That's like cyberpunk at its root. And cyberpunk, while technically being like the domain where technology and humans like merge and you see how technology affects humans and vice versa, it also contains like biopunk and nanopunk technically.
Yeah.
So we're kind of doing like focusing on the more specific tech side of it. But don't forget that like we've done two episodes and technically, and I'll come back to this once again, technically steampunk is sort of part of it too. It's a very like interesting thing that it kind of started as like this like revitalization of science fiction, and then it's actually proven to have like life to it, and it's life in like a very wide sense, you know? There's like literature, there's like video games, there's shows, there's movies. It's surprisingly versatile.
Yeah. I mean, heck, there's even just like art sometimes. You'll see people that will draw like, they're trying to draw like a spacesuit and they just end up putting like cyberpunk elements into it. I mean, that's where, yeah, I get a lot of the art for my my space game.
Hey, it's cool art, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Everyone loves, you know, when you have like electronic bits coming out of your head.
It's certainly a look.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought I'd just briefly go over the punk aspect to it. We've done it in the last two episodes. Naturally, we have hacking, whether it be just hacking the web, virtual reality, cybernetics, all that good stuff.
Your friend's car.
Yeah. You have kind of revolutions, usually through like gangs and hackers, and like, we'll talk about it probably more with like the cultural stuff we're going to talk about later. So yeah, naturally the mega corporations, you know, big tech, big media corps. We naturally got the last bunch from from what we've mentioned before. Government abuse through super soldiers, torture, all that good stuff. It's definitely a genre that doesn't deal well with authority, as we've said.
True.
For a couple of episodes now.
I don't think necessarily you have to have both mega corporations and government in your setting if you want to do this in a setting. You could totally just pick one and just stick with that. But I feel like mega corporations are a more common one.
Yeah, I would almost argue that megacorporations in most cyberpunks have almost bought out the governments. The governments,
yeah, I was going
to
say, there's not much patriotism anymore. It's mostly just like, oh yeah, well, the megacorp controls the government, so it's basically the megacorp now. So,
yeah, the biggest difference is almost like governments are almost reduced to like just the military in a lot of them, at least as far as people see.
Yeah.
Or the governments are reduced to like gang leaders who like kowtow to the mega corporations. It's you know, kind of like our reality. Damn you, cyberpunk. I mean, it came up in the 80s, and that was the decade of corporate culture. So
yay,
hooray! But yeah, what really sets it apart from the others that we've talked about is kind of the interface between person and machine. Started out kind of as like a way to deal with the emerging internet and those kind of ideas with, I mean, the hard start to this is Blade Runner, 1982. But there's definitely like foreshocks, kind of stuff that came before it that fed into it, including the fact that Blade Runner is literally an adaptation of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which I have read, and it's super weird. I think I've talked about how weird frickin' Philip K. Dick is before, but there's like a bunch of stuff. William Gibson is also noted as like one of the big names, and usually they cite Neuromancer, although he had been publishing short stories that were very cyberpunk for a little while before that. And yeah, it's all about how technology has affected humans, which, as we know, in the current year of recording, 2022, no effect, right, Steve?
Yeah, no effect. It's not like this, you know, podcast is a thing, and it's not like people are glued to their phones and we have lawsuits going around about social media being addictive or anything like that. Nah.
Pure fantasy.
Pure fantasy.
So a lot of it, especially with the classical stuff, definitely seems a bit antiquated with like how people did stuff. You have like people jacking in and they have to like plug themselves in, and now we're like, Wi-Fi is everywhere, good luck. But at its core, it's always been kind of how humans have developed because of technology and alongside specifically usually information technology, but as we'll talk with the subgenres, it's been a little bit expanded, just a little.
Just a little.
What this usually results in is you kind of have your like techie heroes. Definitely brought that whole nerd hero thing to the forefront, you know, rise up. And then you get stuff like Street Samurai and
not
kind of cyber police.
Ninjas.
True. And just kind of the cybernetic individuals themselves and people like physically upgrading themselves to make themselves cyborgs, you know?
Yeah.
And that can come through many, many forms. Steve mentioned literally implanting technology in yourself, right?
Yep. I mean, you can, replace an arm with a mechanical one. That's probably like the thing that you would iconically see or what people most think of. Probably the second most common would be, you know, like replacing your brain or part of your brain with a computer. And then that's what you like, quote unquote, jack in with or connect, you know, to your skull. Or have something close to it, kind of like the Matrix had, which I don't think they actually had cybernetic brains. I think they just had like a nervous system connection thing on the back of their neck, like a port.
Yeah,
connection.
They had ports.
Yeah, it was just a data port, stuff like that. But I mean, you can do like pretty much anything. I mean, in a lot of games, I mean, Cyberpunk 2077, for example, you can replace like your lungs and your bones with cybernetics. So, I mean, you can really do pretty much anything you want.
I mean, you can always go full on Ghost in the Shell and literally just copy your consciousness into a machine construct. So you're all metal.
Yeah, that's something that like I've always liked the weirdness / idea of. And I kind of want to put it into an RPG at some point, somehow, some way, is that like, I remember seeing this old cartoon. I think it was a French cartoon. I don't know why I saw it because it was very grim. And I saw it as a child. Where it was like this dude. It was like a silent cartoon where like a dude would walk into a like telephone box and he'd teleport himself to work. But in order to like teleport him, it like rebuilt him on the other side and then zapped and killed the original. But it's like, but his mind is there. But did his mind actually like transition or did it just get copied? So is that person that's walking around just a copy of him? Is the original dead? So as far as like his consciousness is aware, is it just gone the moment he teleports over? That type of stuff. Similar thing when you'd go from like human brain to cyber brain is like, how does that transition work? Like, do you replace part of the brain and slowly work it over to being a machine? Does that work? Does it not work? As our brain or our bodies like go through their cells and they deteriorate to where you're like, you're basically an entire new person. I don't know if that's true for your brain cells, but
it is true. The brain does it, I think, the slowest. Don't quote me on that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we're not scientists here, but
no, we don't quite have the expertise for a science, podcast.
True. True. Yeah, it's just something I thought was like really cool and something you could totally implement into a game. Like the issues with moving your brain over to an implant.
Yeah, I totally haven't done that in any of my games.
Am I forgetting something? I know we had like AI stuff with like Strawberry and
Strawberry is my AI NPC, except for I think Steve forgot that she's not an AI. She is actually a person copied into an AI. Through shenanigans.
That place full of shit on the walls?
No, no.
I couldn't help it. Sorry.
I know. It's all right. But yeah, so there's always that. And those questions are, of course, kind of central to a lot of cyberpunk. I mean, that's literally Blade Runner, both of them. all three of them, if you count the book. Yeah. Yeah. Then, of course, there's the kind of hands-off version that I know Steve likes.
Hands-off one?
Yeah, man. Got to get them suits.
Oh, yeah. Like in Bubblegum Crisis. Yep. Your cyberpunk mecha suits that are very streamlined. If you're not familiar with Bubblegum Crisis, maybe you're more familiar with, like, I mean, I haven't seen Guyver, but Guyver's like the biopunk version of a Bubblegum Crisis suit, which is more mechanical. Is that a correct assessment?
Yes, that is correct. Also, don't forget, don't forget, like, tanks are kind of bulkier mechas, like...
Do you mean Tank Police?
Yeah, yep.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were actually going there or not.
Look, Steve, I cannot deny most of the best cyberpunk is anime. I gotta give in. I just gotta surrender. You know, looking around, I'm like, oh, Ghost in the Shell, that's good. Appleseed has some good stuff in it.
Ooh, I love Appleseed.
Akira, it's some good stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure Monster is currently yelling about something I've forgotten.
Probably.
I can always, list stuff, but it is something that I would recommend looking into. The variety of cyberpunk is definitely something that I think doesn't get, like, a lot of respect. So, yeah. Battle Angel Alita is the one that Monster would kill me for not mentioning.
Ah, yeah. I was gonna say, I know that you didn't enjoy either of these, but they are very popular. Psycho Pass and Id Invaded are pretty popular anime cyberpunks. Not as much as the other ones that were mentioned here, obviously, but...
I thought Id Invaded was all right.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't like it.
I thought it was all right. It's definitely favorable. Sorry, guys. I don't like Psycho Pass. I tried. It's too like, ooh, look at this. And I'm like, I read that book. sometimes that's in a good way. It just didn't jive. Sometimes it happens, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, if you love it, fucking play it, man. That's what we do here.
True.
Naturally, we of course have AI and AI issues. Programs or robots either can work the replicants in Blade Runner are more, robot-esque, but you could always go, just full-on AI. Neuromancer is very much an AI-centric story, so yeah. And then, of course, there's the blending of cultures, right, Steve?
Yeah, so I suggested this one, and I guess it's not in, like, every cyberpunk, but it just seems to pop up a lot, at least from what I've noticed, is that they tend to, like, bring a lot of, like, minority cultures forward a bit more and have them be a bit more common. I guess because, at least it makes sense in my mind that it could be due to, like we were saying earlier, where the government may not even, like, really be there anymore, and it's just a mega corporation, which all they really care about is that you buy their shit and continue to give them money so they can live, like, the good life. And they don't really care if, you kill each other and steal from each other or whatever happens on the, the ground floor beneath their giant high-rise penthouse suites. So, like, it's not uncommon to have, like, all these other cultures just kind of, like, be a lot more common. So, like, in Altered Carbon and Cyberpunk, they both have... Sorry, Cyberpunk 2077. I forgot. Gotta say that. They both have Day of the Dead celebrations in them that are part of a story. I mean, they're not, like, major parts of it, but they're, like, prominent, and they're, like, big missions that take place in them. So you see those in kind of common, and you often see, like, Chinatown, and you see, like, a lot of, like, Japanese, like, culture put in there. You'll see, like, Korean town, stuff like that, is pretty common. It seems like not every culture, and I don't see why you can't put, you know, other cultures in here, if you want to put whatever culture that you're a fan of into it. It doesn't have to be, you know, cyberpunk in United States either. You could totally have a UK cyberpunk or whatever, or a cyberpunk that takes place in, God, I feel like there's a good movie where it takes place, a cyberpunk Chinese movie.
I mean, I just read Waste Tide, which is a cyberpunk Chinese novel. I know there are Chinese ones. Basically, if you get into the 80s and 90s, they're a lot more Japanese-centric, unless obviously you're talking about anime or manga.
yeah.
And then the more modern you get, the more influence like Korean and Chinese cultures have.
Yeah.
That's not strictly true, by the way. That's not like prescriptive. That's just kind of a generalization of how things are. And just because of how, you know, in the 80s and 90s, looked like Japan was going to take over the world. In the 21st century, at least the start of it here, looks like China's going to take over the world, you know? It's just kind of more of a result of anxieties. But I also think that you bring up a good point in that, I mean, I think any good forward-thinking science fiction looks at kind of how cultures are becoming more connected. We're getting more global, especially True. With technology. So it's kind of like an output of just being able to talk across the world. I mean, I lived in Korea for 2 years. And Steve, we talked pretty often still.
True.
It helped that you were up like super late at night, so you were like often one of the people who I was like, "Hey man, how you doing? It's after work."
Yep.
And Steve was like, "Yep, it's like 3 a.m. I'm like, "Cool." Cool, man. Sounds good.
Yep. Yeah, it is kind of common in sci-fi, because like also you have like situations where you'll have a group of people that are on, actually, was this Babylon 5 I'm thinking of? Maybe it's Battlestar. Like, isn't there like a spaceship oriented sci-fi show where like everybody speaks like a different language type of thing? Like there's been like a few of those where it's quite common for someone to just like throw out Spanish or throw out like Japanese or whatever.
I mean, Babylon 5 has some of that kind of stuff. I'm not sure about others. DS9 has universal translators. Ooh, I can't remember if Battlestar had different stuff or if all of their... Because they're like a non-Earth-based society too, so...
True, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually another thing, is the language barrier. It's like in cyberpunk settings, it's not hard to have like a translator in your brain that will just translate whatever's being said into the language that you prefer.
Yeah, and then you get to play with having like better and worse translators. Like if you make your players buy it, you know, they'll start getting like the weird like out of sequence wording and stuff like that.
That could be fun, like needing to get the Spanish module, and you're just like, "Oh man, I don't have one. I can't understand this person." You just buy something off of someone on the street and you don't understand half the words that are being said to you. It's like, "Wait, did he just insult my mother?" It's like, "No, he's talking about tequila."
True. But yeah, I mean, these are all things to think about when you're trying to figure out like the world and the conflict, or if you're a player, like what you wanted to think about, you know?
Yeah.
Like what you want to base your character, like the struggles that your character has gone through or is going through.
Yeah, because for cyberpunk, it's not uncommon, I would say, to have, you know, your fears realized and, you know, have to deal with all these different things that are causing problems for the general population, unless you're a high-rise corpo or something like that, then maybe not. But
hey,
even
hey.
Still.
One might say... The corpos, which for those of you not in the cyberpunk speak, are basically the people who have just kind of been like, "Whatever, I'm going to make a lot of money, I'm going to have a good life, and I'm going to die. I don't care about any of this stuff." And usually there are stories about like their fall and they're having to deal with like the inequalities in life. But I would argue that they're spied on the most. They just care the least.
Yeah.
Because their entire lives are just monitored by the corporation. It's quite frequent that those kind of stories start off with, you know, their boss or their rival being like, "Oh, I've got dirt on you." And then, you know, they fall out of favor, and then life sucks. So
that actually literally happens in the Cyberpunk 2077 Corpo path.
Oh, I know, because I played. I played.
Oh, did you? I thought you picked the lizard delivery with what do they call it? The Outlander or whatever?
Oh, I did. I did both.
Oh, you did both. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, quite common.
Yeah.
You're just a cog in the machine, and they can replace that cog whenever they want.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of it comes out of like very dystopic fears, right? The lack of privacy, the idea that we can't have anything of our own, that we're just all the same. We're all just like corporatized and standardized, and you know, nothing is unique, and we can never really like express ourselves. It's really good, like, ideas to play with, especially when you're like, you know, thinking about what your villains, especially if you want to make complex villains, right? A villain who just wants to keep everyone safe by removing privacy, they're still a villain, I'd argue, but their motives might be good.
Yeah.
Them wanting to help make sure everyone is equal, well, that might end up as like standardization, you know?
Yeah. So that's actually a big thing with Cyberpunk as well, is that like trying to express yourself in unique ways. That's why you see like a lot of people with like crazy mechanical parts that are visible to like your average person. So you can see that they have, you know, a robotic arm or cyborg eye or whatever it may be. A lot of tattoos, a lot of like dyed hair, tons of varying punk style hairstyles. Either like mohawks or like comb overs with like half your head shaved, that type of stuff is pretty common. Like any way that a person can like make themselves like more individual, so they can like stand out in this like otherwise like shitty place where it's just like you're just a I mean, if you're someone on the ground level, you're probably just considered like an ant to everyone else. So you're like disposable.
I mean, yeah. And Wastetide, the Chinese cyberpunk novel I mentioned earlier, it actually takes that and goes into like upgrade culture, where it describes young people like constantly replacing their arms and their legs to get like new ones, and then swapping them to experience each other's like sensations of the world. Kind of, you can get into really interesting stuff like that, and how like intimate or not intimate that makes someone, you know.
I was going to say, I thought I guess that would be an Altered Carbon, where,
probably.
I mean, it's in other stuff too, but like an Altered Carbon, you can literally like, they call it like sleeving, where essentially like you take your brain out of your body and you put it into someone else's body, or vice versa. You like trade bodies either willingly or not willingly. but it's kind of common in Cyberpunk to do stuff like that too. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. I just thought I'd add.
No worries. I was just got distracted by thinking about multi-sleeving.
Oh, like one body and a bunch of, or one mind and a bunch of bodies?
Yeah. Yeah. Do they do that in the show? I haven't watched as much of the show as Steve has.
I don't. Or no, wait. Yeah, they do. They did do that once in the show.
In the first novel.
I was gonna say, they do that in Cyberpunk 2077, kind of to a degree. As well, as you find you're supposed to fight this one guy, and you go in and meet him, and he's actually a pair of identical twins that merged their mind together. So it's kind of like the opposite in a way.
Gestalt multi-person sharing consciousness is definitely a big cyberpunk thing. I actually read, and it was a little late for the biopunk episode, but I read a novel called Blood Music, which I actually think you might like, Steve.
I was gonna say, that's a cool name.
Yeah, it's essentially kind of like a crazy biopunk virus, but it goes in a very unusual way. Like, usually you just see like, oh no, virus, everyone's dying, it's terrible, blah blah blah. It definitely takes a turn into like weird kind of gestalt identity stuff. Yeah.
Blood Music by Greg Bear.
Yep. By Greg Bear. And yeah, these are definitely things to think about. I mean, I think they do, Yeah, they do some of that in Ghost in the Shell too. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like anything where they've got people that have like literally their entire brain or consciousness is digitized, you totally do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
it'd be funny if you had to do that to your players. You'd be like, okay, guys, swap character sheets.
I mean, you can always do the limited version of that, of like in the novel Forever Peace, where you essentially go and you like interface and like learn all of someone's secrets and they learn all of yours and you kind of like co-mingle, and but you can separate again and you maintain like a limited version of them. That's kind of one of the big concepts of that novel. So,
oh, that's kind of like that episode of Futurama where Bender is having a relationship with the spaceship that they have, and wants to like merge minds with him, and he like doesn't want to do it. That could be like the evolution of like, be like, oh man, this is how, you know, like, you know, love was one thing, but this is like true love when you can like meld your mind with your partner, become like one being or something like that. That'd be kind of nuts.
Yeah. It's actually in the space opera episode, I mentioned the one of the first space operas, Skylark, and there's actually something, although they don't do it like nearly as effectively, but there's actually something like that in that series too. It's very weird. It's definitely not punk in any way though. So but I mean, you also have, with of course, our wonderful cyber world that is naturally not at all like our fiction. You have fake data. You have to discern what is actually real.
Fake news.
Always fun.
We don't already have that now, though. I mean,
nope.
It's deep fakes, and
it's not the future.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see why cyberpunk has like lasted. Why people freaking love it. I don't know. On the less fun side, there are of course economic concerns, which can wrap itself into anything. But generally, you know, class divide is a big thing. I'd argue, and I'm going to talk about this a little later too, it's kind of actually from cyberpunk's noir roots, because it is very much, hey, what if we did like noir hardboiled detective, but in the future? That's basically cyberpunk. So, invasive cyber control, we've talked about, just loss of control in general, right? You can have your cybernetic parts turn against you or take you over. There's a recent movie called Upgrade that's pretty cool that has that going on.
Oh,
you've got, of course, we're just gonna mock up some servants, right, Steve?
Yeah, just make some very friendly construction robots or butler robots or chauffeur robots. Nothing could go wrong. You know, it's not like the blending of human with mechanical bits can go the other way, right? Where you could have mechanical bits become somewhat organic in a way and then turn them into monstrosities or whatever.
That would never happen.
That never happened.
No. We're talking about boomers from Bubblegum Crisis now, but it's in a lot of stuff. It's not just that series.
If you're ever wondering how to do that, if you don't want to go into like the intricate like thing of like trying to figure out science for like synthetic metal that functions like organic stuff, just use nanomachines.
True.
Yeah. So I just go back
to
your
episode
nanopunk.
On nanopunk last episode.
Yep. Yep.
But AI control, the Matrix. I feel like we almost don't even need to say that one.
Yep.
And then of course overstimulation, which I can't believe I forgot. Like, thank God you added that. Like, that's why I keep you around, Steve.
So okay, cool. Like, hey, actually thinking about it in the other genres, but I was like, I think it fits more to talk about here because that's like, I mean, it fits in any like punk setting is overstimulation, but in cyberpunk they take it like to like crazy heights. Like all the stuff you can do. So you can do drugs in biopunk, of course, but because cyberpunk is technologically like oriented, you have stuff like TV and VR addiction, self-modification addiction, addiction to sex is pretty much everything. But I feel like cyberpunk is more like, we're all going to die anyway. Let's just, you know, like get together. And I don't care who you are. I don't even know you. You know, like, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, want to fuck?
Yeah, I mean, very, you know, talking about the roots of cyberpunk. In Neuromancer, the main character starts the novel with his cyber connections being burnt out, so he can't actually jack in until he gets them fixed, and he's like really depressed about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, not be able to get your VR fix or your web fix or whatnot, or all the stuff that the corpos are selling to you to make money to live off of.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, and this is also why I can't believe I forgot this, selling you your nostalgia, but unlike the kind of, you know,
too real, man, too real, the modern day, too real.
Unlike the kind of more manufactured nostalgia, and I say this as a complete, like, I love Top Gun Maverick, so I don't even have nostalgia for that franchise, but.
Yeah, you don't. So you're good.
But it's a good movie. It actually is. They could sell you back literally like your childhood feelings and your like you could relive your childhood. You can make different decisions, right? And it all feels real because we have like virtual reality and, you know, or, you know, we're going to inject some bio machines inside you or whatever.
That would be a very cool noir. I don't know what you want to call it, like red herring, I guess. not a red herring, but like have it like someone's trying to get like this data chip. It's like super special data chip, and then like when it comes down to it, it's really just like because of all the no privacy. You know, corporations are spying on everybody, and they have all this stuff. This person just really wanted to see like their deceased like child or something like one last time, and like them like being happy and like getting to experience that again. And because of all the, you know, the cameras and data being harvested and all that sort of stuff, a corporation is like, hey, I got this. I could sell it to you. It's very valuable. You know, I can get it to you. And that's like really just all they wanted. But it's being fought over as if it's some big thing because they're being, you know, overly cautious of it.
I feel like that is an actual thing. I feel like but also,
yeah, I think that's been done.
But also, just to make you mad, Rosebud Steve. That's like part of the point of that.
Oh, is that part of it? Oh, okay.
Yes, that's very much part of it. But yeah, I do think it's powerful, and I think like I don't know, the genre is just very relatable. Like you make really annoying, really muddy problems into like at least they're still muddy. There's still really big problems, but at least you get cool cyber stuff in the fantasy version, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, there's also the effect on warfare. You know, you got war mecha, you got AIs hacking and infiltrating and blah, blah, blah. And of course, cybernetically enhanced dolphins.
Yeah, what?
Steve has not seen the 90s camp classic, or I guess read the short story by William Gibson, which is much better. Johnny Mnemonic with Keanu.
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah, man, cybernetic dolphins.
Oh, okay. Is that like sharks with freaking lasers on their heads?
It's like Star Trek 4 plus cyberpunk.
Gotta save the whales, but cyberpunk edition.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
They had a big thing in the 80s and like 90s with like whales and dolphins. It was, you had to be there. But it ended up in some media.
You had to be there.
hey, Star Trek 4, one of the best Star Trek movies. So, but yeah. And then of course this all leads to a general feeling of dystopia. I resist putting that label on it because I feel like dystopia is so connected to YA since like the 2000s.
YA?
Young adult, like, novels and properties.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, when you put this on here, I was thinking of, like, Judge Dredd, where, like...
Which is cyberpunk,
and it is kind of dystopian in the way that, like, the cities, like, are almost, like, completely shut down. Like, it almost feels, like, when you look at, like, the... At least the way they portrayed it in the most recent movie, like, the cities look kind of like what you would expect, like, people to be living within a Mad Max setting, almost. It's like they don't really like go and walk around and be active. They're just kind of like rummaging around and like kicking their feet and like moving slowly, or like just, you know, sitting in a ditch and dying. It's just like nothing to do except, you know, like get high and like maybe eat.
I mean, yeah. Mega City 1, it's not like you can leave because it's like most of the US and what's outside it is the wasteland. So,
yeah.
And if you try to go to another dimension, you just end up with freaking Judge Dead and like his ghost stuff. And you just don't want to end up with that, man. I just went too deep. Sorry. That's all real. That's all in the comics.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes.
I apologize for that tangent. But yeah. We already covered it a little bit, but there's also the style.
Yeah.
You know, you got the noir and hardboiled detective roots, you know, the decaying and crime-ridden cities. Thank you for the transition there, Steve.
You're welcome.
And of course, kind of the, you know, the darker, more shadowy things. You can definitely see it in like Blade Runner right from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
You got the neon lights to kind of contrast the shadows, though. And you definitely have this like, the cyber world is like bright and often colorful versus like the real world, or the non-enhanced portions of the real world are very shadowy and run down.
I was gonna say, I really like the metaphor of that in a way too, and how it fits with the setting is that like, if you are a like consumer of the overstimulation we talked about earlier, so if you're someone that's like constantly in VR or constantly, you know, getting drunk or going and getting like body modification and stuff like that, you may not really be paying attention to like what's going on around you. And you may not see like the like gangs rising up to like overthrow the corporations or the government or whatever it is that's going on. It's just like something that you just like aren't really seeing because the pleasures, quote unquote, are so bright and attractive that you miss what's in the shadows. So
yeah, man, the corpos live on the top floor. They don't come down to the dregs.
Yep, that's usually why they end up getting stabbed. They're like, why the fuck is this rat up on my tower?
Yeah. With the kind of expansion of things electronic in general, and just the general thing that, you know, came up in the 80s and 90s, you got electronic music, it's big.
Yep.
You may also have stuff, and this is actually from Gattaca, which is more retrofuturism than, it's not cyberpunk, but people with like modified bodies, so like a sixth finger to play more complex piano pieces.
Oh, huh.
Or, you know, oh, that person has like bunch of spider arms, so they're playing like completely different places and they're just kind of moving their like spider legs around or tentacles or whatever. You know, mecha arms. That's like,
yeah,
Dr.
that's
Octopus.
Actually a good point, because like if you're one of those people that has modded yourself to the extreme degree and you have all the hardware, it's like, where do you go from there? Like, maybe you just keep upgrading your brain to the point to where you can now articulate multiple limbs at once to do different things the same time, so you play the guitar and the piano at the same time. You know,
yeah,
if you're a musician.
I mean keep in mind the body, both body horror and kind of body manipulation that we talked about in biopunk is still present in the, you know, mainline cyberpunk, with both, if you're gonna, you know, put bio stuff or cyber stuff. So yeah,
true.
Yeah. And then of course you have fashion. I just thought I'd put it on here because it's often like punk stuff. Steve already mentioned it a little, but
yeah,
you know, sunglasses and leather, if you want to go with classical matrixy stuff. But feel free to expand. You can look however you want into cyberpunk today.
That's true. Yeah. You don't have to do leather and sunglasses. You can.
As long as you don't look like one of those damn corpos. No, I'm just kidding. Wear your suits if you want to. Be stylish, everybody.
Be Agent Smith.
Yeah. All right. Subgenres. I am not going to spend long, I swear.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. We already talked about biopunk in episode 101 and nanopunk in episode 102. You could just go back and listen to those. Then, of course, you have all of the historical versions of all of this stuff. You have post-cyberpunk, which is essentially the more modern editions, which include like Wi-Fi and stuff. You have atom punk, which is essentially the pre-digital period of 1945 to 1965, usually. Diesel punk, which focuses specifically on the kind of greasy, more World War II-ish stuff, kind of the mid-20th century. You have deco punk, which is the 1920s to the 19 50s, which overlaps a little bit with both of those other two I just mentioned. You have, of course, steampunk, which we talked about in episode 82, which is essentially, it's actually 1795. Look up the Romantic period, all the way into the Edwardian era, which is like right before World War One and kind of into World War One often, although it overlaps a little with dieselpunk. You get the idea. I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
You have Rococo punk, which is essentially taking the Rococo stylings of the 18th century and adding like punk and like more advanced technology to it. And you have clock punk for the 17th century with like clockwork stuff, because why not? And with clock punk, you can go all the way back to the 14th century, you know, very much the kind of like Renaissance-y. Yeah, you get it. And then kind of skipping all the way back, because I guess we don't have medieval punk yet. We probably do. There's not a name for it. Someone go make medieval punk. I don't know. Medieval punk the shit out of your game, everybody. But you have stone punk, which is like prehistory. So like, I don't know, man, steampunk Flintstones?
Yeah, I was like, crazy. What?
Yeah, shit gets really crazy, all right? You can do whatever.
But like, instead of putting like a computer chip in your brain, you're putting a chip of, or a rock chip, a chip of a boulder.
Hey, man, silicone, right?
It fits too well. Moving on.
Then, of course, you have kind of the variations that are just kind of obsessed with like, what if we still used a classic piece of technology, which is kind of interesting. I don't know that we needed like another genre. It's more of like an artistic flourish, but I mean, that's always been part of cyberpunk, so who am I to complain? With like steelpunk, where you have like late 20th century like hardware rather than software, so like it's more focused on like the riveted dirigibles that like move through the air and shit, as opposed to like the software virtual side of it. And then you have something, and I don't know, man, all this is from Wikipedia, by the way, because, and it's not like I haven't heard of a lot of it, but I was like, oh, cyberpunk variants. Oh my God. And I've even left off a couple. So like, have fun. But there's also cassette futurism or Formica punk. Thank you, the world.
Oh, okay.
Which essentially, it uses like older hard disk technology from like the early 1980s, so like 81 to like 83, 4, and is just really obsessed with what if we still use like cassettes. So I don't know, guys, Videodrome away.
Or I guess wouldn't that kind of be Cowboy Bebop in a way too?
Yeah,
I recall they had a whole thing where they had like her memories on like a Betamax tape.
They had
different stuff, but not the Betamax.
Oh man. And you haven't even, I don't think, seen this. Captain America, the Winter Soldier has a person recorded on like those big spool computers.
Oh
from
yeah.
the '70s. So, I mean, it's a thing, everybody. If you want it, have it.
Yeah, that's all of them. You got through it. Yay.
Yay. We also have genre blend, which I'm definitely not going to spend much time on either, because it's largely, I mean, we've talked about it the last two episodes. I would recommend, I guess it's too late at the end of the episode. We started off with it, though. Like, it's a trilogy. This is the third part with a big overview. And it's not like we're not going to come back to some of these.
True.
Because I'm probably going to do one on diesel punk, and I'm willing to bet Adam Punk is going to be like part of a nuclear episode or something. And I'm probably going to be like, oh, shit, we should have a second cyberpunk episode because that genre is huge and we've just barely skimmed the surface. But you can mix it with war, space opera, crime stories, fantasy, horror. Honestly, we just gave a huge list of subgenres that basically says you can punk the shit out of anything.
True.
And you know what? You should punk the shit out of everything. So
that's
yeah.
Right. Get punked.
Get punked. Man, I didn't even go into like elf punk and stuff. It's a thing.
There's an elf punk. I mean, I'm not, I shouldn't be surprised.
There's an elf punk. Yeah.
Wow.
Fantasy
okay.
Punk, man. It's you can do whatever you want, you know? But any last things you wanted to mention, Steve?
No, I think we're good. Other than I did want to say, you're free to do anything you want. The cybernetic oyster is yours, or whatever it is. The world's your oyster. The world is your cybernetic oyster. There we go. That's what I was going for.
Now I'm trying to figure out what like a cyber pearl would be.
Oh, I don't know.
It probably have like some like hardware encoded into it or something. Be like one of those futures where they use like crystals instead of like drives or whatever, you know?
Yeah. You just made me crystal think of something pump. Though. a side thing on the whole AI thing is, did you see Love, Death, and Robots?
I've seen the first season.
First season? Yeah. That reminds me of the artist that paints blue.
The best episode?
Was that the first one or last one?
No, it was the best episode. I love that episode.
Yeah, that one was great. I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, which if you haven't seen it, I recommend you go see it. But it's essentially
I also recommend.
Yeah, it's basically just like this person that paints all this amazing stuff, and everyone's just like, ooh, wow, I don't understand. And then I won't spoil it, but you're like, huh? At the end, like, oh, I guess. Yeah, that's just, you know, like when you're focused on something that much. I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all I got. I mean, we covered a lot of stuff. There's probably stuff we missed, but.
So as we like to say, join the cyber revolution. Fuck the format. Join us next time. Are we just going to leave it with a clean ending? That would go against type for us.
I thought I did the intro. So you're doing the outro.
I did. I just did it. I said, fuck the format.
Oh, instead of. Remember to play what you love, and until next time, your characters do something epic.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Fuck the format.
Fuck the format.
Fuck the format.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection, or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.